When we come to Mass, where are we? And who is with us? This would seem to be an obvious answer, right? Here we are in Bethesda. We can look around and see the others around us, about 15. But actually, the answer is not that simple. In the series of homilies on the Mass itself, we have considered how Jesus Christ is the great eternal high priest, bringing God and man together in a way that no one else ever could, and how he offered himself as the one perfect sacrifice, infinitely pleasing to the Father. Because of who he is, true God and true man, and because of what he is doing, saving the entire cosmos, his act of sacrifice, which certainly occurred at a particular time and place, nevertheless resides outside of time, and it is accessible from all times and all places. So where are we? When we open the book of Revelation, what do we see? A lamb who seemed to have been slain, surrounded by living creatures and elders and angels with great bowls of incense, who bow down and sing to the lamb. And at times we see the great multitude that the lamb has won, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Dr. Scott Hahn wrote about the time when he first visited a Catholic Mass back when he was a Protestant minister. And as he watched from his back pew, he noticed a striking similarity to the description in the book of Revelation. He wrote, "I hardly knew which way to turn, toward the action in the apocalypse or the action on the altar. More and more, they seem to be the very same action." And it is no accident. For when we approach the altar, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is made present upon it, heaven and earth are united. The Second Vatican Council told us that we take part in a foretaste of that heavenly liturgy toward which we journey as pilgrims. The angels and saints worship our Lord Jesus, truly present to them, seeing him as he is. We worship him, truly present to us, but under sacramental appearances. And so when we come to the Mass, when we come to our Lord Jesus present upon the altar, we join together with them, the apostles and prophets, the martyrs, all holy men and women, all the angels, when we unite ourselves to Christ in the Mass. When we are here, we may truly imagine that they are all here in front of us, surrounding the altar, surrounding our Lord Jesus together with us. That's not all. Who may we picture is behind us? Theologians, when they speak of the entire cosmos and all creation, will sometimes speak of the Latin terms exitus and reditus. Exitus means that in creation, all that has been created goes forth from the Father in his great gift of being and life and goodness. Reditus means that all creation is supposed to then return to the Father in love and thanksgiving. And in doing so, all creation should be led by humanity, not because we are the best or most powerful of all creation, but because we sum it up, since we alone are composed of both an intellectual or rational soul and a material body. That kind of soul we share with the angels, the material body we share with everything else. We then sum up creation and are to lead it back to the Father. How have we done in that mission? Not so great. Through our fall into sinfulness, instead, we corrupted the entire universe. But our Lord Jesus, through his incarnation, death, and resurrection, is the new Adam, remaking the human race and all of creation in his image. And he picked up where we had failed. As he then leads us, and through us leads all of creation in our joyful return to the Father. So when we come to Mass, where are we? Joined with heaven itself. Who is with us? Before us, all the angels and saints. Behind us, following after us, all of humanity and all of creation. Animals and plants, planets and stars, all together in a joyful procession of return to the Father, following Christ our head. In the words of the hymn, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark, how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity."